That is common to man. That's what we want to talk about today. It's a Greek term that separates the man from the animals, but at the same time it also separates, or that is to say, draws a distinction between man and God. So we're just going to talk a little bit about that is common to man. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms 125. Never doubt and never worry that God is not in control, and especially as we come into these end times and we see the enemy, it would seem, that is negative, that is against God, people not caring about our Father, people searching for guidance and not finding it quite simply because they don't know where to look for it. Then it is good that you, as a servant of God, be able to guide them and to show them God's assurances. With this thought in mind, God has made many promises. If you don't claim them, forget it, friend. You're out. How are you going to know they exist? Simply by studying our Father's Word. Therefore, people miss so very much in a generation where biblical illiteracy abounds. So certainly you, just one, makes a great difference when you're well informed and you understand the Word of our Father. Now in this 125th Psalm from the Old Testament, we see our Father and we see His love and the fact that He cares and how really much He cares for you. Let's cover it, if we may, with that word of wisdom from Yeshua, Jesus. Verse 1 of Psalms 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Have you ever thought that that's the way God looks at you? When you trust Him? It's called faith. And a lot of people say, I'd like to trust Him, but forget it, friend. You're not like Mount Zion, and I guarantee you, you will no doubt move yourself. God won't move you, but you will probably be moved yourself. Mount Zion, to show you the importance of this, as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 16, God fell in love with it. As a matter of fact, He uses the analogy concerning Mount Zion, Jerusalem, that is to say, and Mount Zion being the center thereof, as a bride, how she had an unclean birth because the Jebusites formed her and she was known as Jebus. But He took her to wife. He said, you're going to be my favorite spot in the world, and as far as I'm concerned, because He establishes His eternal kingdom there, that it's His most favorite place in the universe. Though He does cleanse it at times. So, God looks at you as He does that geographical location and perhaps more so. He's saying, if you trust me, there's nobody ever going to move you or bother you without naturally you having the victory. Okay, verse 2 of that. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth even forever. God is the same yesterday, He is today, and He will be forever. That's a promise that you can count on. That's a promise that you can know of a surety that He's going to abide with you as long as what? There was a condition there that you trust Him. It's very difficult for some, it would seem, to know that our Father, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, knows where you are. He knows your needs. And if you trust Him, you can do whatever you want to in serving Him. This particular ministry is a very good example of that. He gives us all the bricks we need to build with, but He expects us to do the building. It's lead pipe sense. You've heard that old terminology? It doesn't matter as long as we seek His will and His plan. He furnishes whatever we need to build with, and it gets built. Naturally, our ministry is the Great Commission, is to take His Word forth to the world, not traditions, but the actual Word of God. So, we ourselves as a family can certainly see God keeps His Word when you trust Him. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. They're not going to be there. And what is a rod? A rod's for correction. That's what you whip something into line with. The rod that He uses upon them won't hit your back. Lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. There you go. It's your choice, in other words. You understand? God will always be with you. He will never forsake you. He will always protect you. Just as those huge mountains protect Jerusalem, He's standing around His people that way, ready. But the minute you take your hand and reach out and get into the world, here comes the rod. Not necessarily by God's hand, but by the world. The world is not a fair place. I think most of you have lived here long enough to find that out. The world will take advantage of you. So what God does for you when you stay in His Word through the understanding of prophecy, knowing what tomorrow brings, God allows you to be wiser than the ways of the world and to beat them at their own game in just about whatsoever you would choose. But with that comes faith and trust. He's always there, and He will protect you and see that you're never moved as long as you're steadfast and love and trust Him. But remember, the moment that you turn from Him back to the world, you just severed the relationship temporarily until you turn back. Perhaps not completely, but it has a way of deteriorating, and you feel it right into your very core when that deterioration begins. Verse 4, "Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts." It's not necessary for you to pray that particular prayer. Why? He's going to do it anyway. It's all right to say it, but it's kind of a test for you. Do you understand? Because if you pray that, it's almost like you're saying, "Well, Lord, now don't forget. You be good to us that do good." You don't even have to consider it or pray about it. You know, if you trust Him, that He will. Verse 5, "As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel." Those tribes that went north over the Caucasus Mountains, peace would always be with them. It's no accident. I'm not talking about the house of Judah now. I'm talking about the house of Israel that went over the Caucasus Mountains, were called Caucasians, that settled Europe and later but this great nation. Have you ever known a land that was so full of peace? Yes, our troops have left this soil, but here we have had that peace. God blesses America. He does. I know there's a lot wrong with her. I know a lot of the people have turned their hands toward iniquity. And we pay that price. But overall, don't ever forget it. It's no accident that we control all of our gates. Always have and always will. That is to say, since we became a nation. God cares when you trust Him. Trust is such an important thing. It goes along with the family. If you trust your family, you'll get more out of them as far as love and respect and happiness. Everybody wants that trust. Most of all, your Father wants your trust. He wants you to know that if He promises something, He'll come through. He guarantees it. He proves it over and over in your life if you partake of it. Now, I'll tell you what, let's go to the New Testament for a moment. Let's go to 2 Peter, way over near the end of the New Testament. 2 Peter, and we're going to go to chapter 2. Let's pick it up at about the fourth verse. This is where God is saying, hey, since the beginning there have been bad. There were bad angels even that came to the earth. Let's pick it up with verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, that's angelic beings, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment. In other words, God doesn't play favorites. You got it? This is the point. Angels know better, and they should do pretty good, and naturally their punishment would come. So naturally He's going to punish human beings or man also. All right? And of course He's talking here about the Nephilim of the book of Jude that did sin, leave their first habitation, and came to this world. 5. And spared not the old world, that first earth age, and yet even before Noah, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Why? Because they had mixed with those fallen angels, and there were geba, or hybrids in the land, which did not fit God's plan, and certainly the Son of God could not come through that genealogy. They didn't trust God. They were trying to work out their own thing. Man has a bad habit of that. And if you're not careful, you'll slip into it in your daily life. I can handle this because I'm just a little brighter than everyone else. Yes, who needs God when you have my wisdom? You know, why should I turn it over to Him when I've got it under control? Get ready, friend. You just stepped on the soap bar on one foot and the banana peel on the other, because you're about to take a fall. You always need the wisdom of God to receive His blessings. 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Do you know what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? You should. That's where the name Sodom comes from. Sodomy. Perversion of every sort. God said, I destroyed it as an example of what I will do to it every time. I would not be resting easy today if I were under those conditions. I would be praying very diligently for a change of heart, mind, body, soul. 7. And meanwhile, though, while all this was going on and the brimstone rolled on Sodom, He delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He had no part of it. He withdrew. 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It was an abomination to Him. And there is nothing new under the sun, inasmuch as perversion is an abomination even to this day to those that serve the living God. It's very difficult for us to even understand. God doesn't like it, all right? The Lord knoweth how to deliver. You got that? If you trust Him and if you love Him, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. In other words, God is a can-do type father. He is able to take care of His own, though you live in a world that is worldly. Though you live in a time when iniquity springs forth in every form. My friend, don't hide from it. Don't hide your family from it, because we're in the world for a purpose. But teach them through the Word of God what is right and what is good and what is just. And as their age permits, teach them accordingly, so that they are familiar with the world, whereby it never overtakes them. They are wiser than the world. God knows how to deliver you, even if you're walking down the middle of the main street of Sodom, if you trust Him. Now, in this generation, naturally there are places, I'm speaking in a spiritual sense now, naturally there are places in this world we don't walk down that street, because we would be stupid if we did. We use common sense. And when you use the tools that God gives you, He will always deliver you from temptations. You know what temptations are? Well, I could be tempted to get so busy that I just decided that, hey, I'm retired. I don't have to teach the Word of God. Why don't I just quit? You know, I never get to go fishing, because I have too many hours I have to put in teaching. Boy, it'd be a lot more fun going fishing. And I know what would happen to my boat if I did. All right? Something would happen to it, I guarantee you. It'd probably be one of these water skis bust right through the middle of it, you know, or something. But anyway, what I'm saying is, trust me, I have no intention of going fishing and shirking my duties as a teacher. My point is, if you're not careful, your own job can do the same thing to you, though. You can become so busy with it. Do you know that you can even become so busy with teaching that you can forget 5 minutes to just simply sit a moment and say, Father, I love You, and worship Him? Do you realize that? Even as a teacher, you can get so busy teaching God's Word that you forget, even though He's blessing you, to communicate with Him. That's a detraction. And I know that may be difficult to understand. How could you truly be researching in the Word, because teaching and communication or worship are two different things in a sense, in that respect, and you need both. So don't let your daily job have you going so much that you don't have time to take that moment and enjoy that wonderful Father that says, hey, I'm all around you, friend. You're my child, and I love you, and there is nobody going to move you. You can just slide right out from under His wing and be going your own way. God knows how to deliver, wherever you are, His loved ones from evil, from the unlawful deeds. He knows how to reserve the unjust unto that day of judgment. He's fair and punishment. Hopefully yours is going to be rewards that day. Verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise government. Very important thing. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Constitution of this great nation was taken from this Word of God. This nation, which I have fought for and I have shed blood for, and I'm not setting myself up as an example, many have, to guarantee the rights of freedom, that we can teach and do exactly as God leads us, guaranteed, that right guaranteed, by this government that we can go all over the world using this as a base. Why? Because as long as you obey the laws of the land without compromising yourself, that self-same government must protect you. And therefore, many people seem to forget armies cost money. Experiments cost money. And when you sit back without spending those monies, your axe gets real dull and you're going to lose the next battle and you won't have those freedoms that we hold so dear. Some people are so short-sighted that they can only think of themselves. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, hey, I'd just as soon you got out. You're no good. You're not good for this nation. You're not good for God. And you're not good as a human being if you don't care enough about your family to take care of it. Anybody that won't take care of their own family is worthless. They're not a father. They're not a mother. They're worthless. God doesn't like it. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. In other words, not even the angels argue with Satan. You're wasting your time. That's why when somebody is just too far gone, let them go to the devil and let him straighten them out. Paul teaches that, incidentally. Satan saves a lot of people that way. By the time he gets through stomping them down and then putting them at the bottom of the gutter and people walking by use them, then pretty soon they realize, hey, I'm the prodigal son. I had it better than this. Back home, certainly. Don't argue with Satan. No yea, no nay. No this hand, no that hand, but straight on. Tell him where to go. You have the power and the authority in the Father to do it. But these, as natural brute beasts, that's nature, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understood not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And of course we're speaking of the Nephilim. But make sure that you don't reach out and take hold of their shortcomings, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. They're going to get it. Not righteousness, but unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Not a shame. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Oh yes, I be Christian, but I also stand against everything that you hold dear and God holds with dignities. Because I'm different. I'm a rebel. I'm a rebel without a cause. Well, go rebel somewhere else, idiot. There is one family, and that is the family of God. There is one purpose, and that purpose is to teach the message of Jesus Christ, not your own. Not your own message. Yep, they'll feast with you and say they belong to you and so forth, but they are far from it. 14. Having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. You know what they say? Beguiling. This is the way you should do it. You should think about yourself, nobody else. Take care of number one. Well, common sense is built in through the law of survival to get us all by quite nicely in that respect. But when you're a Christian, you're a part of a family. And you either do it God's way, or you become a rock in Christ's way. And you're about to get a thumping. You'll never be successful. And if you ever practice those things, I only say one thing. Look at yourself. What do you amount to? And this is for, I know none of you here are, but this is for the tape audience, all right? Don't all look so worried, please. What do you amount to if you stand in the way of Christ's word, His commission? I can tell you what you amount to. This is not difficult to understand or figure out why you're that way either. God gives everyone what He knows they can take care of. Boy, some of them. He doesn't think they can take care of much because He doesn't give them nothing. All right? God prevails. God is in charge. Okay? Well, this is what Peter had to say about it. We just read what David said about it, and all being the Word of God. Let's go see what Paul says about it in 1 Corinthians 10, if we may. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's begin with verse 10. Here we're, Paul is building the trust up of the people. He said, hey, look back. God defeated Pharaoh and all the enemies of Israel openly and blatantly right in front of everybody's eyes, fed them, coddled them, might as well say changed their diapers for them, took care of them in the wilderness. And verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Who is the destroyer? It's Satan. Don't ever let him in. If you leave your door open just a crack, and he'll be there, all right? He'll slither his little old self in unless you have your place protected. 11. Now, all these things, that means the past history, the captivity, the wars, everything that happened in the Old Testament, these things happened unto them for examples. That means types. And they are written for our admonition. That's to say, a warning to us that this is how it's going to happen again. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. That makes it very important for you, beloved, because you are in that generation. That all these events point to. Therefore, it makes it all the more an admonition to you that you study your Father's Word and most of all, trust Him. Well, I'd rather trust in this organization. Trust your Father. Verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Anytime you're going to stand by yourself, anytime you stand in the way of God's plan, when you know God's plan, you're going to slip, friend. It's useless, hopeless, it's stupid. Do it God's way. How do you know? You study His Word. He made this available by one of those kings of Israel that went north over the Caucasus Mountains. His name was King James. And he brought forth this great King James edition that common man could possess the Word of God and bring the Great Commission forth. Don't stand with God and allow Him to be your mountain of protection. 13. There hath no temptation. No means, no temptation taken you. There's nothing ever happened in your life but such as is common to man. It happens to everybody. It's a very common thing. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, you may become deceived at times, but God will have you a way fixed whereby you can get out, get away from it. Get back to Him. Get back to your Father. Live the way you're supposed to. We'll always fall short because we're not perfect. That's why he used the terminology there that but will with temptation also make a way of escape. Because if you have a way of escape, it means you're already embroiled in it in part. He'll fix a way out for you. God will never expect more of you than you can put out. But what is the main thing? You know, it is the Christian thing that automatically, oh yes, temptation, these bodies of ours, we see this, and usually sex comes to mind the first thing. I guarantee you that's not what he's talking about here. That's just a normal mode for Christians to slip into. God said he would protect you, and there was one qualification. It had nothing to do with sex. Trust. If you don't trust him, then who are you going to worship? Do you understand? I'm trying to put this in perspective for you in the Father's mind. All right? Let's document it. Verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Not adultery, and yes, you should flee from it. Don't think I'm soft-pedaling sex as far as that goes, so forth. But the most important thing is that you know how to worship your own Father rather than being seduced by the destroyer himself, who is soon coming to this earth as Christ, asking people to submit to him, to love him. And it will happen before there's any gathering back to the true Messiah. That's what he's concerned about. Do you understand? Don't you go off on some guilt trip on me here all of a sudden and forget the whole point. Trust God to be your provider, your guard, your guardian. Let's put it that way. It makes it a closer relationship because he is. He's your Father. He knows how to help you. Well, what does this mean, most common to man? Well, it's most common for man not to want to study God's Word. That's a Greek term. It simply means common man does what? He's biblically illiterate. Too busy. If you've ever tried to discuss our Father's Word with somebody of the world, the majority, you know what I'm talking about. They hardly know. Ask one of them sometime, have you ever read the second chapter of the second book of Nebuchadnezzar? You know what some of them will say? No, I don't think I have. Well, as you know, there is no book of Nebuchadnezzar. They don't know because they're biblically illiterate. So, you see, that is common. God has given you an escape because you sought that escape. You sought truth, and you found that truth in God's Word. He showed you the way, and that way was that you would trust Him and love Him and would not pay attention to the destroyer or any of His little tools, but that you would be ready to serve if ever called on as a witness for His Word and for that truth. You see, He has given you that way because you sought it. You claimed it for your own. And He broke down those walls of ignorance and you came into the light of truth and knowledge. You see, God keeps His promises. It is common that some would never want to take an hour or two on a weekend and come together in fellowship with brethren. But you seek it. Why? This is your escape, if you would, in part, from that world. That is to say, to bring you above it, to worship your Father, to tell Him, Father, I love you. And do you know something? I don't know what you left back home. but you'll be far more blessed by God and more prosperous for having taken the time to say, Father, I love you, and I love to study your word. I love to gather in fellowship. I love to be with that family. Verse 15, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. I speak to people that have understanding, he says in the Greek. Beloved, thank God you do. The cup of blessing, verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? 17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. We are one in Him. And He loves you for that. He really does. In closing, I want to go to one other place. I want to go to the second chapter of the same book, 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, with the same thought in mind. I thank God that He has given you a way of escape, and it is His Word, beloved. Don't ever forget that. His Word. Verse 9, as it is written, verse 9 of chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. All I tell you this, paradise is coming. And the blessings down the road for you that are just going to happen because you love Him and trust Him, He has already prepared it for you, that it will be granted, that you will be blessed. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Which is what Spirit? The Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit knows. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Can you read the person sitting beside you's mind? I think not. Save the Spirit of man. That's to say your own spirit. You know what you're thinking, but someone sitting beside you doesn't. Which is in man. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. We can't understand the wisdom of God totally, but the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, does. And if you have that Spirit in you. Now, there is such a thing when a couple marry, they become one flesh. And I think sometimes women are given that gift of reading the man's mind after they become one flesh, just to a degree, all right? But be that as it may, what God is saying, I know what you're thinking, but nobody else does, okay? Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Hey, that it doesn't hurt to be well educated in the ways of man, but that's not the primary, but which the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing, watch this real close, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, to be properly interpreted, this must say, interpreting spiritual things with spiritual facts. It's important that you know there are spiritual facts. Every time God blesses you, that isn't something spiritual. It is of the Spirit, but it is also a fact. And logging those facts, spiritual facts, blessings in your life. Hey, the fact that you have a yearning for God's truth and to understand it, and He touching your mind and opening it to prophecies, what a blessing. How special you must be to God that He would see fit to use you and to let you see His plan. Don't ever tell me you have nothing to be thankful for. Don't ever tell me, oh God, everything happens to me. It doesn't happen to nobody. No, it happens to everybody. Well, you don't understand my burdens. I think I do. I may not care too much about them. I may call you a poor me baby. I may laugh at you and say, you poor miserable wretch. Why don't you trust God and grow up? Now, we all lean on each other at times of trouble. And I'm not talking about legitimate burdens here, okay? But you know, do you know the poor me baby syndrome? You've never met one? Oh, you're lucky. All right. Some people have the poor me baby syndrome. And that's you can really do something for somebody like that, okay? Is to get their attention one way or the other and let them know you don't have to put up with that, and if you do, you still have a way out. God will lead you out. So, always, it's so important that you log in your mind and spirit, your own spirit, God's gifts, which are spiritual facts. Knowledge. Don't ever forget to thank Him for it. Understanding. Guidance. Okay, 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. How many of you have gone out into the world and say, let me tell you about something, something very sweet. God will He'll provide for you if you'll trust Him. And they'll say, get on out of here with that stuff. That's just a bunch of foolishness you're trying to lay on me. Friends, it has turned to the majority of the world feel that way, whether they would voice it or not. How do I know? You can see it by their actions. They don't care. They consider serving God foolishness. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If the Holy Spirit is not in you, then you do not have spiritual discernment. That spiritual discernment that lets you know what is right and what is pleasing God and entrusting God, and that trust strengthening you and bringing those blessings. You caring enough to understand from God's Word His promises and then claiming them. Hey, if you don't claim them, you're never going to have them. You have to claim them. Ask Him. He's your Father. In other words, your earthly Father. Usually until you proved yourself to Him, that is to say that you trusted His knowledge, His understanding, that you did all the little chores He assigned you to do, and then He usually rewarded you, right? Many times. And if He could, well, that's your Heavenly Father is no different. That may put a little bit of a down-to-earth slant on it, but your Heavenly Father is far more so. He does not. Of all things, He's got Satan in His face every day, practically. You know what Satan's doing in God's face? Hey, you think you got a winner down there in that old boy? That old girl? Come here, God. Look what they're doing. Look at them. Oh, you're so proud of them, and they claim to be so holy. Oh, ho, ho, look. And it hurts him when we slip up, when we might listen to some false information, be deceived because we were not attuned to his word enough to discern. That's junk. Throw it out. That's a bunch of junk. Get rid of it. Spiritual discernment is your Father's love dwelling within you in the Holy Spirit, helping you to know and to understand what tomorrow brings and what He expects most of all from you today. He loves you. He wants. Do you know, He owns everything. And it makes His day to get to give you something. It makes Him feel good. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But boy, some people have even a hard way to go to do something to earn a gift. He really has to. You don't have all that much competition today, friend, to receive the gifts of God. All right? So the people of the world do consider these things that I would be saying now as simply philosophy, mindset, teaching you to think positive rather than negative. That's what they would say, but they do not see the power of God behind that veil that causes it to become a reality. But if he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. In other words, discretion and discernment shines a light upon everything. 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? I can't tell God what to do. You would be a fool if you were to try to tell God what to do. God already knows. Let God do it. He's not judged by any man. He doesn't need anyone's advice. It's like some of these people that says, well, I was just ministering to God, telling Him what to do. Well, I couldn't tell what you were doing, but God probably doesn't need your help, friend. All right? But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, if you absorb the Holy Spirit and you study His Word, you have the mind of Christ in part, as much as is going to be allowed on this side of the veil, to discern what is right and what is wrong for you, your family, how you are to treat your family, to appreciate God's blessings. And I'll tell you this, if I had to, God has given me many blessings, material things even. But if I had to have a choice of giving up the material things compared to the knowledge, I would. It's not even a fraction. By that I mean my love for His knowledge, for His discernment, for His Word. I couldn't live in this world without it. And I don't know how anyone else can live in this world without His Word, without loving Him. In these troubled times, He is a deliverer. He has shown you the way out, His Word, His blessings. He will always stand by you if you trust Him. Do you know what trust means? Let's just talk about it real quickly. And bless your hearts, I'm not talking down to you. To trust someone is to know they're going to do it to what is best for you beyond any doubt. Not reasonable, beyond any doubt. Your Father loves you and He's going to do it as it's best for you. He wants to. He's anxious to help you when you will make that commitment of trust to Him. You know why? You're His child. You're His child. And He loves His children. He truly does. He loves you. He appreciates you for the fact that you seek His Word and truth. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the privilege of studying Thy Word. Thank You, Father, for Your many blessings. And we ask those blessings and promises upon this family, Father, each and every one of them, that You touch and lift as they come to You, repentant and able servants in Thy hand. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.